following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
And welcome once again to A Came From The Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have Charlie Saladino sitting next to me.
How's everybody doing?
And I have our special guest for the night, Mario Nicincia. Nicincia, I always manage to mess up your...
Nicincia. It's always a tongue twister.
Yes, Nicincia.
And it's a pleasure to be here.
And Hassan is on assignment. So he
Hassan
won't be
is on assignment?
Yes, he's on assignment. He won't be able to be in today. And what's going on with Herman? What's Shemp? What's is he going to make it down here today?
We don't know. He was captured by aliens and
again.
Yes, in his living room while he was sleeping. Yeah.
They forgot a couple of last probes.
Yeah, exactly.
Hate my wearing
my glasses.
Hate it when that happens. See, speaking from experience, you've had plenty of
many times.
All right. So
it's a big night today. We have two callers. We have our special guest, and
We'll be getting to
we
that.
We have two
but
callers.
I gotta do this,
from
I gotta do the spiel. You forgot about the spiel. I gotta give my little spiel.
Oh, you want a spiel?
My spiel, yeah.
All right, spiel.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on live audio streaming. Also, on the GBB website, we have our live in-studio webcam. You can see us in high definition. And also, you can notice on our table, we have tons of stuff, which is actually a nice little change of pace instead of just seeing like three guys sitting here talking to each other in the mics.
That's right. You like to do that because you put your FM DJ voice on.
Yes, that's the radio voice. Yeah.
It's 5 minutes after big hour nine, and we're coming to you live.
Yeah,
that's not how he normally talks.
No.
You normally talk like, hi, how are you?
Yeah, pretty much that's it. And the phone number here is area code 631-888-8811. So let me just take it away with the news. MTV is bringing back Beavis and Butthead. Still attached to the project is creator Mike Judge. Of course, because there are no more videos shown on MTV, the two characters will be watching reality shows this time around, making fun of such shows as Jersey Shore, 16 and Pregnant, UFC fights, and popular viral videos from YouTube. Even though the characters are now about 20 years older, it will see as if no time has passed at all.
So it'll be like Beavis and Butthead does The Soup. Or the version of The Soup.
Yeah, pretty much that's what they're doing.
It should be fun.
You're a fan of Beavis and Butthead?
The original show from way back, yeah.
So you think you're going to be watching a new one?
I'm going to try it out. We'll see.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it'll be hysterical.
He was funny, he was funny then. Why not now?
I wasn't a big fan of the show because I did not appreciate them watching the videos. So.
Well, how old were you? Three?
That wasn't that long ago. It was only 20 years.
Yeah, well.
So that was three? All right, I'll be three. So moving along. Starting this past Halloween, Netflix has raised their prices of the DVD rentals from $1 to $1.20. Not Netflix, Redbox. Sorry, my mistake.
Redbox. I was going to say that's
my favorite vending machine.
I was just going to say that's going to boost Redbox sales.
My favorite vending machine is normally $1 to rent a movie from Redbox.
Right.
They raised it to $1.20 a day.
So you're going to see how that 20 cents is going to piss people off.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
20 cents?
20 cents. It's just the principle of it.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah. It's just a go-kart going downhill after that.
In order to make the transition easier, Redbox has decided that until November 30th, the first day rentals will still be $1, and every day after that will be $1.20.
You got a month, kids. Get out there.
Make sure you get them all now.
Stock up
rent
now.
Rent it now. Rent.
All righty. This is our own news. Show news.
Oh, we got news.
Yeah. I was just
informed. That was great English. We got news.
I was just informed last week that there is a new app out for smartphones that you can hear our show on your iPhone or smartphone device.
That's about time. Yeah,
that's very cool.
Yes, you just press the button. It's Listen In, I think it's called. It's international radio, and you can hear all radios across the entire globe of ours. And just by chance, we happen to be one of those radio stations. So you plug in WGBB, and you can hear us on your smartphone now.
We are popular.
International.
Yeah.
When we used to do the old show, the Comic Book Novice, many years ago, we actually had people listening to us from Australia. So that was kind of weird. Yeah, I always used to forget the time change, so we were actually airing the next day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, wow.
So when I used to promote it, we're live at 9 o'clock. It's not 9 o'clock down here.
Well,
yeah,
I tell you, we are getting more and more fans, especially the two that are on the line waiting for us now. And I'm fans of them.
You're fans of them being fans of us?
Yeah. And
I'm a fan of anybody who likes us.
Yeah, okay.
And also on our Facebook page, the Mark Hamill interview that we were talking about 3 weeks ago,
yes,
it's up on the site, so you can go onto the Facebook page and click it, and you can actually...
And we will play it on the show sometime, right?
Sometime.
Yes.
Sometime.
We'll let you know.
Holidays when nobody wants to come down.
Maybe it's our special Christmas show with Mark Hamill.
Mark Torres and Mark Hamill. Mark and Mark.
There you go.
There was a show, The Adventures of Mark and Brian. So it's going to be The Adventures of Mark and Mark. Do you remember?
I vaguely remember something like that.
All right, moving along. Moving along. DC Universe Online, a video game where you get to play superhero or villain in a DC universe on the internet, has also changed its pricing structure. As of last week, it will now have three subscription levels. Legendary, which is $15 a month. Premium, you pay a one-time fee of $5, and everything else in the game will cost you additional money. Or for all you cheap bastards out there, like me, it's free. The third level is free. You can play the game absolutely for nothing. Depending on what you pay for will determine, obviously, how much you get on the online game, but it's free. It used to be $30, $40 a month. Now it's free, F-R-E-E, free.
I'm excited.
That's your excited voice?
I'm thrilled.
It's
free.
It sounds like a good way to bring in new players.
Get people
to test the game.
Do you really think that that's a good pricing structure to have, being completely free, and then, you're special, so you pay extra money, so you get extra cool stuff, but you guys just to get to run around the universe?
I think it's a way to pull in new players. I think once they test drive it, so to speak, they'll get into it, and they're going to want to go to higher levels.
Right. Okay. Jack's absolutely right. You're going to have people playing it more to get to those levels to get to the free thing. So nothing is really free because those players are going to be busting their chops.
Well, I guess
don't ever disagree
work.
With me.
I guess it would work. I mean, I used to play this one game. It was called City of Heroes, and I remember when it came out many years ago. They were like, you have to pay for the game, and you have to pay every month. And I'm thinking, I'm not playing a game pay every month. But they're like, here's a free copy. They give you a free month to play it. And it sucked me in. I was like, wow, this is the greatest thing ever. And like 2 years later, I was still playing, and I was like, all right, that's it. I had enough of that.
There you go, Mom. Moving along.
Speaking of games.
Mr. Segway.
Batman Arkham City has shipped more than 4.6 million units worldwide since its release on October 18th, which makes it officially the highest grossing game for a week's sale time ever in all the video game-dom.
There you go.
So that means that more games were sold in this 1 week time period than any other game in the existence of all games.
Very impressive.
You're impressed that they made money?
I'm impressed.
All right.
Moving along.
Obviously not that impressed.
No holy video game Batman? None of that?
No. Actually, you said, Trevor, we have those callers that are on there, right?
We have
two
callers.
Waiting on there? All right, I'm going to put them on 1 second, so let me just get to the shameless portion of the show before we jump to our guests that are calling in from the New York Comic Con.
Are we going to do the
We're
two
doing
of
the
them
shameless
together, or...?
It's up to you, Charlie.
I think we should do two of them together so because they work together. I mean, do the costumes together so we can chat with the two.
So we will move to the shameless portion of the show right now
okay.
so we can get to the guys. Okay. For those of you who like independent comics, there is no greater comic than Red Anvil's War of the Independence. excluding our guest here today, who's read Red Zone Girls comics, is it?
Okay.
Not better than his stuff.
Yes,
but almost as good is Dave Ryan's War of the Independence.
And we have a license to do War of the Independence crossover, so it's all good.
See, there you go.
There you go.
It is an independent crossover featuring such characters as Ant, the Max Bone, Savage Dragon, Gummy and Pokey, Phaser from our guest right here, and my character,
Gummy and Pokey, was a biggie with me. That was a big seller with me.
Yeah, that's why you're going to see it.
That's why, if you've been listening to the show for the past, 2 months?
Yeah, I've been 2 months.
Since we've been doing a crossover. Oh, my God.
I've been hawking this thing.
I was ecstatic when Gummy and Pokey was there.
And speaking of my character,
Mr. Segway,
RZG Comics will be carrying a trading card series for War of the Independence, which will have their flagship character Phaser involved in it, and my character is going to be involved in a crossover Phaser
series. What's your character's name, Demo?
It'd be Sunburst.
Oh, okay, just checking.
So hooray.
Sunburst. We have to say with a little dramatic flair.
No, not really. Yes. Just Sunburst. All right,
yeah, he's being very modest now. Meanwhile, got a scene when we're off to you. Well, I can't believe you.
We'll hype it up for him.
Yes.
So we actually have the two guests. So, Charlie, you want to introduce the guests since you have their names?
Not really. No, I do. Actually, one of my favorite parts of Comic-Con is going around taking picture of what they call the cosplay individuals. Group, yes. And they really get into it, and they really go out of their way and really put a lot of work into their costumes. And I just actually picture number, let's see, picture number, if you go to our Facebook page, picture number 51 has Anne, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. If I'm not, you could beat me up when you talk to me on the phone here. Sony Exclavi?
You're asking me? The one who can't pronounce any names?
Yeah, to make a mistake, too.
I would say Exclavi.
Okay, she'll tell us. And David Santiago. So are they on the line right now?
Say hi, guys.
Hi, guys. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, guys.
Okay. Sony, how did I screw up your name royally here?
It's okay. It's Sony Exclave.
Oh.
Well, it looks like an R.
I was not even in the park.
It looks like an R. He wrote down an R. It's an R.
All right. There you go. Well, that's what it was on the thing.
Okay.
So anyway, guys, how much preparation do you guys take? Because you guys put a lot of work into this. So I'm going to show the pictures now. We got Sony and David right here, if you guys could see that. You guys seeing this?
I'm just on the phone talking with you guys. I don't have access to my laptop right now.
Oh, all right. Everybody else who is with us is seeing this. You guys know what it looks like because you are on our Facebook page. And for people who are not, number 49 to 52, pictures 49 to 52, these two young people here. But again, let's start with Dave. David, how much preparation does it take to go? And do you do one costume? Do you do Nova for Comic-Cons, all the Comic-Cons?
Yes. Since New York Comic-Con came back to New York, I believe it was in 2006, I believe. I've been going there ever since. I used to go before when it was... I forgot what it was called. It was in Jacob Javits Center, but it was called Comic Book Convention something. It was when I was a kid. I used to go with my dad all the time, and in my adult years, me and my dad, we used to go all the time too before he went. And it's amazing. It's amazing. And as far as like costume preparation, I always take my time. Okay. If you want something to look good, you have to take your time doing it, because if you rush something, and the quality shows in it.
Yeah, it was a fabulous costume, and it looks perfect.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
And this is coming from a guy who really doesn't know who Nova is. He just saw it as an awesome costume.
Well, Dave had explained the whole thing to me when I talked to him, which I was glad because,
So
Dave, kind of explain Nova to everybody here.
Well, Nova, a.k.a. Nova Corps Operative 11249-44396. Don't ask me how I know that. His name is Richard Ryder, and he's from New York. And he was basically chosen by the Nova Force to be part of the Nova Corps. And what happened was, during the annihilation, the entire Nova Corps was decimated, and Richard Ryder was the last of the Nova Corps alive. And in order to preserve the world mind, which is the most oldest and ancient knowledge in the universe, world mind transferred the entire Nova Force into Richard, and Nova Richard became Nova Prime, which is the outfit that I was wearing.
Wow. There you go.
That's exactly right.
And also, Sony is a character that's involved with Nova. You were telling me love-hate relationship, right, Sony?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. I just, the picture that you guys took together with that dagger aiming right for his ribs, Sony, that was a great shot. I love the shots I took of you guys, and that's why I got in touch with you. And I was so glad David knew who you were, because I think this shot is one of my favorite shots of the whole Comic-Con thing. So
wow.
Anyway, how much preparation do you, Sony, do you go through? And I know you've been in other costumes and stuff like that. Let us know what's going on with that.
Well, to be perfectly honest, David and I decided that I should do that version of Gamora at 2.5 weeks before the convention. So that was probably one of my quickest and most detailed costumes
now you
I have ever done.
You make your costumes?
Yep, from scratch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she does. Does amazing work. Yeah. I was shocked in 2 weeks what she got done. I couldn't put into words.
All right, now the most important question on all the male fans out there is, who was doing the painting?
I did it myself.
Oh, of course he would. I'm trying to be classy here.
Hey, my job is to lower the bar. I'm lowering the bar.
But anyway, yeah, it's phenomenal. Now, I know you have other characters, tell us some of the other characters you have that you've used over the past.
I have quite a few. I think maybe about 10 or 12 costumes. I don't own all of them today.
Right.
But the one that people love the most that I always find myself on Google with is Jade from Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
That one, people really like it a lot. So it's one of my more popular ones. I've done Harley Quinn as well, and a bunch of other anime/video game inspired.
Right. And do you go to San Diego Comic Con? You travel for these Comic Cons or?
Yeah, I went 1 year to San Diego Comic Con, maybe about 3 years ago. But honestly, it's too packed. It's really hard to do anything there. They have really good content there, but you get lost at that convention real fast.
Well, it's really, really, really huge. It's incredible. I mean, you literally have to ship all the stuff you got for free back home, because that's how much stuff you get.
Oh, my God.
So as con goers, what do you guys think of how the New York Comic Con is growing through these couple of years?
Oh, man, I actually think that New York Comic Con is probably one of the best cons on the East Coast, honestly, because there's so much to do. There's a lot of really good vendors, and there's so many people that go from the industry to talk that it's so worth it for what you pay, you know?
Did you guys see Mariano and his stuff? He had a booth at the New York Comic Con.
Who?
Mariano, he was, RZG?
RZG
Comics.
I don't think so. Honestly, it was so hard to navigate that place, wasn't it?
Oh, my God,
I have to agree. Me and Sony were just overwhelmed with photographers and people interviewing us and wanting pictures. We really didn't have time to go and, you know, shop and check out other panels and stuff like that.
We tried, though. We got a quarter of the way through.
That's where I met you guys, outside of it, you know, like out in the hallway getting ready, which was, it was actually, you know, as you're passing you guys, you have to stop because their costumes were so brilliant.
Does that get annoying after a while? I mean, I know you're there to take the pictures, but how many pictures can you take in a day? Does that bother them after a certain amount of time?
I have to say, if we actually kept count and if we had, like, a nickel for every time we took a picture, I would be a millionaire right now, so...
Yeah, it was a lot.
So that's the business right there. Charge for one nickel per photo.
But I tell you, it's they were fabulous. They were
were
amazing. David, we were talking. You do some charity work there?
Yeah, I've done a few charities. A couple of weeks ago, I did a charity for this young girl Haley who. Battling cancer, and me and a couple of fellow cosplayers, we rounded up together, and you know, we brought about the awareness, and we raised a pretty good amount of money. I'm looking forward to doing some more events coming up in the near future.
That's good. That's great. Sony, what's
I always say, you know, dressing up in costume,
right?
I mean, at conventions, that's cool, but if you can dress in a costume for a cause, that's even better. I mean, that's just putting your outfit out there even more.
That has to be a great feeling. That's a good thing. Sony, what's going on in your future? You want to do this? You want to be a designer? You want to what's heading down your way?
I want to keep making costumes as a hobby. I mean, I don't really want to design. I'll help people that want stuff done. Maybe I'll even do commissions in the near future, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, where could people see your designs if you want to promote that?
Well, if you could go on my Facebook and add me, you can see everything I'm doing. It's at it's Sony Exglave, E-X-G-L-A-V as in Victor E.
Okay. That's good.
If you add me, you can see everything I'm doing, and I'm looking to maybe sell some things in the future. So I'd like people to be on there and share with my craft.
Excellent. And David, if people want to get in touch with you?
Well, my name is not as catchy as Sony's, but if you add me on Facebook as David Cap Santiago, all three words separate, you can see me there, and you can check out where I'm going to be headed and what outfits I might be doing in the future as well. Also, I want to give a shout-out to Together Brothers Productions. What's up, fellas?
Sure.
We have a movie coming out called Final Escalation.
Nice.
It's an amazing movie. We've got so many Marvel characters, and we're facing this threat that's just massive. And the movie's going to be broken down in chapters because the action, the drama, the suspense is just so much. For someone's taste buds to take, it would explode. So we're releasing the movie in chapters. First chapter is coming out in a few weeks. But if you check out our fan page at Together Brothers Productions, we're the only ones there. So if you just search for that, you'll see. You can check out behind the scenes, our first live action trailer that we just released on Monday, and other projects that we're looking to do in the future.
Sounds
excellent.
Pretty good.
Sounds excellent. Now, one quick question before we have to take a break. Sony, you're not from this state. You're away. Do you get in touch with David and you come all the way down from where you are, or all the way up from where you are, and you guys get together and you do this? How difficult is that for you?
It's not difficult. I mean, there's buses that leave Philadelphia all the time to go to New York, and I'm more than happy to go up there, especially for a convention, because it's just so much fun and so many like minds, and a lot of fun. Everybody's so happy, so
yeah.
I don't mind taking the trip. It's only like 2 hours; not a big deal.
All right. The honest truth. What'd you think of our Facebook page?
I liked it. I want to see more pictures because I'm more like I like looking at visuals.
Right.
So let's do more pictures. Let's post up more pictures on the main page.
Yeah, I definitely try to do that. We get so little time running from, like, interviews there. And luckily you guys were in the hallway. I thought those were my best pictures.
It was fate.
Thank you.
It was definitely. And You guys have been great. And anytime you guys are in town, I know, David, you're in town, but Sony, you come up, you and David come down here and get on the show.
No okay. costumes needed, of course.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Okay, no.
Yeah, definitely. And don't go anywhere. Stay on the line, and because I want to chat with you, and we have to go to we have to go to commercial. Thank you guys
Thanks for being on the show.
Appreciate
it. So hold on line. We're going to have Charlie talk to you, and Mike has a little getaway for you.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, we'll be right back with it came from the radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with the Came From Radio. This is your host, Mark Toro, speaking. Charlie is still talking to the guests we had, so it's just going to be me and Mariano for right now. But for those of you who are listening to our break, that was music from Vixens of Virtue, Vixens of Vice, Season 2, the soundtrack, available on Amazon.com right now. That was track number 7 by Keith Jacks for Third Rail Productions at www.t-r-p.net. That was Ninja Dance. Did it sound like a ninja dance to you, Mariana?
It did.
It sounded like ninjas were dancing?
I was practically dancing here in the studio.
If ninjas could dance, that would be it. So, today we have a special in-studio guest, Mariano Nicieza.
Nicieza. Mariano Nicieza. We'll start with Ni-si-essa.
All right. So, Mariano Nicieza. There you go.
There you go. Perfect.
You know, it's very rare that I get a last name correct, so it's part of my thing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about RZG Comics, your character Phaser, and we're supposed to go from there.
RZG Comics was a company started by two folks, Carl Myrino, which gets a little confusing with Carl Myrino and Mariano Nicieza. He's the president and also an avid photographer. So
really?
Those folks that were at New York Comic Con and folks were running up and taking their pictures, I'm pretty sure he took their pictures too. The other principal in the company is the creative director, Rachel Platt. The two of them founded the company, Red Zone Girls. It was a company geared to doing calendars and posters with the NFL and then later college sports athletes. And somewhere along the line, they got the bug to do comics, and I had worked with both of them in the past. They were clients of mine, and they knew of my background, having worked at Marvel and being involved with comics. So they approached me and asked me if I could help them out to get things started.
So now with that little bit of backstory, I can finally understand why is it called Red Zone Girls.
RZG Comics, exactly.
I'm like, Red Zone, I don't understand why is it called Red Zone, but now I know.
It all makes sense. It all pulls together.
So how did your character, Phaser, get involved with this? This is your particular character, or is it
Phaser has been a labor of love for many, many years. He was part of my thesis project for graduate school.
Really?
At the University of Hartford in Connecticut. It was part of a master's illustration course that I took. And there was a novel that I had written. And the thesis course involved illustrations for the novel. So there was a body of work there. And RZG became a great vehicle, a great opportunity to help this young company out and to get this project out into the marketplace. It was a win-win.
So how is it seeing this character from way back when? I'm guessing college was a long time ago.
Actually, graduate school was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. This was in the last 10 years that
five
all this
pulled
together.
5 or 6 years ago is a long time. It's still a long time. You know, it's 5 or 6 years. So how is it now that you can see your character involved with all these other characters? Such a time frame has passed. What's that feeling like?
It's rewarding. It's extremely rewarding to finally get this story out, and hopefully we'll do it right, and hopefully there'll be an audience that's receptive to the entire package. It's not just Phaser. There's supporting cast involved. There's a character called Agent 30. There's a character called Black Ray, and there's a villain called Blue Sultan. All of them are going to get books through RZG Comics, and all of it is a cohesive story being pulled from that novel.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about the character Phaser? Who is he? How does he get involved? And how does he get his own book?
Phaser is a poor lost soul. He's a scientist. There's elements of X-Files involved here. There's elements of Indiana Jones. Basically, he's a scientist and a top secret research development. UFOs and aliens are real. We've had them and we've been studying them for many, many decades. And now, after decades of study, the culmination is the creation of this reactor that is going to tap into a heretofore unknown energy source, a revolutionary new energy source. And there's a little bit of arrogance here for Phaser. His name is Mark Moreno. That's the name of the character. A little bit of arrogance, a little bit of hubris, and it's all experimental, but he decides that he's going to be the guy to flip the switch. He's going to be the one to be the first to test all this. And he's a family man. He's got 3 children, a loving wife, so a lot to live for, a lot to lose. And against everyone's better judgment, he goes ahead and does this. And part of this is that the aliens have also been involved here all along, monitoring our progress, checking us out. And sure enough, there are spies within the complex where he works that end up sabotaging this equipment. So when he flips the switch, the entire thing blows up. But because this is a radical new energy source, it doesn't explode the way atomic power or dynamite would explode.
Right.
It bombards him with this energy. And the result is that he can no longer stay on our world. He can no longer physically remain on our world. He's shifting through time. He's shifting through alternate realities.
Now, I know Charlie is a big old-time fan of all the old black-and-white movies with the mad scientist. This has a little inklings of those things. Is that where most of the ideas came from?
There are elements from many, many sources in the last 30 or 40 years of science fiction that have influenced me and that I've pulled from. So I'm sure if you look at little pieces here and there, you're going to find little pieces from various eras.
Yeah, well, even you know, saying that, it's a great new concept. This is a new concept, whether you pulled from different...
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
Like to think so. It doesn't end there for our friend Phaser.
Right.
Besides uncontrollably shifting through alternate realities and time, what he very quickly finds out is because of his altered molecular structure, when he does go to a different time period or he does go to an alternate reality, every time he lands, it manifests a different type of superpower. So he may be on one world where he can fly, and then he uncontrollably shifts away from there to another environment, and now he's got super strength. And he shifts again to another environment, and he uncontrollably changes into a mud monster. Or it goes on and on.
Excellent. Excellent.
So by doing something like that, does that manage to keep the character more fresh in your mind, so that way you have more ideas? And as opposed to, I guess, like Spider-Man's, you know, been around for so many years, you have to keep the status quo. So with this character, you don't have that problem, really.
I wanted to do something that was going to be radically different from anything in the marketplace right now. And that is definitely one way to go. I also wanted to have a sustainable story. Another element that I've thrown in is a bit of a fugitive chase. The alien that was masquerading, because there's a shape-shifting alien involved. When isn't there a shape-shifting alien involved? Right. You need them.
I saw one on the road the other day.
Driving down the highway.
Yeah.
He was a spy in the complex, and he sabotaged the equipment. As a result of the explosion, as a result of the sabotage, he was caught in the backlash as well. So like a child's tether ball, whenever Phaser shifts somewhere, the alien shifts along with him. Also uncontrollably. Except the alien has a chance here. If he can stop the source of the shifts, he can get back home. Unfortunately, Phaser is the source of the shifts. So everywhere he goes, not only does he have to contend with these varying powers and these varying environments, but he's been looking over his shoulder constantly because he's got this shape-shifting alien out to kill him.
Right. Yeah, to send him back. Now, just... the illustration, is this the way he looks every time he goes to another planet, or does he morph into something else?
There are times where he morphs into something else, simply because the Hulk, for example, can change from Bruce Banner to the Hulk.
Right, right.
So in this scenario,
so when the energy is different, whatever the energy
in some
of that
cases
planet,
he will change, exactly. But in general, he wears that costume and he's got that uniform.
Okay. Because I'm thinking when the movie comes, because this sounds phenomenal. So I'm
thinking
when the movie...
Wow, someone's getting ahead on
themselves. Because I'm the movie guy here. I'm thinking when the movie comes, you don't have to put up with uppity actors. If an actor gets too big for his phaser boots there, morph him to another planet and get another actor.
Change his face. You're right. No radical accident needed.
No actors that, you know, don't play nice with people. Move to another planet.
Just get younger and handsomer in the next picture. Makes sense.
There you go.
There's no need for that
brilliant.
Hole.
It was brilliant.
It was brilliant. Yeah, it's good.
No need for that whole the bandage thing that they do.
Yeah, exactly.
Whenever they're changing actors, there's a horrible accident and they have to reveal the new actor's face. It's just right into it.
This is brilliant. You know, you were looking down the road. I see it. You were looking for the movie rights. It's great.
I did try to look at the big picture.
Yes. The illustrations are brilliant. I'm loving this.
The illustration you're looking at, and for those of you that can see it on the camera, it is Jim Steranko, who's a legendary artist in the comics industry, worked at Marvel all the way back in the 60s. And Jim and I actually have an interesting connection. Because young Mariano, back when he was 13 years old, entered a contest that Marvel was having at the time. It was called FOOM, FOOM, Friends of Old Marvel.
Yes.
It was a club that they had. And I entered, they had a create a character contest. And I entered a character at the time. Jim Steranko was the editor and the art director of that magazine.
Right.
And he chose my character as one of the entries.
Nice.
Really?
So now here we are, 30, 40 years later, whatever it is, and he has graciously signed on to do this premiere poster for Phaser. So it's a nice little circle.
Yeah, that just like seals everything when you get something like that, and it's when you get a situation like that, and it feels so good. It has to feel good, like knowing that, you know, he's come in to work on the project.
Having someone of Jim Steranko's stature has validated RZG Comics and has validated Phaser. Mm-hmm. So we're very, very happy to have him on board, and we're already talking about further projects. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a scoop right now. Mm-hmm. Factory Entertainment has licensed Phaser to create a statue, and it'll be based on a Jim Steranko sketch.
Wow.
So that's all in the production stages right now.
Wow.
So finally you'll be able to see your creation in 3D form.
Yes.
That must be one of the greatest feelings to know that that's coming out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, on the show, we've talked about many things about how the audience has changed from back then to nowadays and how they were more sophisticated and how comics itself is kind of losing towards video games. Is this targeted to more of the younger generation or to more of the older crowd?
I'd like to think that Phaser is going to appeal to a broad age range. I don't think I'm going to state right now that it's targeted for any particular age range. I think a young audience will be able to pick it up and appreciate elements of it, and I think an older audience is going to be able to pick it up and read different elements into it.
So it's going to be one of those multi-level things that the old
Looney
Tunes had.
Very
much so. You know, for the kids, something for the older guys. As comics are now, they're not really in print much more. You know, everything's digital. Do you find that as a creator that going print is still the way to go, or is it going to be a digital release? How are you going to work that out?
Part of the thesis program that I was involved in, part of the master's program I was involved in, forced us to look ahead, forced us to think about marketing our creations and about looking ahead 5 years, 10 years. So I do believe that electronic downloadable comics are a wave of the future. Having said that, I also believe that the brick-and-mortar stores are not going to go away. There's always going to be some kind of comic shop presence, and I believe that there will always be some type of print of the comics. I was in San Diego, and a used bookstore owner actually had a very interesting theory, which I think the guy was right on target, and he said that in the future what's going to happen is a lot more things are going to be released electronically. But when they prove to be popular, that's when we're going to see an enhanced print version, whether it's a leather-bound hardcover book or, you know, some kind of print will be made, but it will be of the more popular electronic downloads that someone wants to have in print in their home.
So it's kind of like a reverse thing of what's going on.
Yeah,
now.
I think it's going to be the reverse.
I can see that. The guy was dead on, because I could see for the collection, just the somebody who has a collection, they would want a hard copy,
right?
And this would be, you know, perfect.
And besides, you know, what are people going to sign? If it's just you're going to sign a computer, you're going to have
what
all
are you
signatures.
Sign their whatever those things are called.
The tablets, you're going to have signatures. Yeah. You won't be able to see anything.
Sign my iPad, please. Yeah.
So, how did you get involved in the War of the Independence?
Again, wearing the marketing hat and thinking ahead, I wanted Phaser to come out with some kind of splash. I happened to meet Dave Ryan. I admired Dave Ryan greatly. He's the creator of the War of the Independence concept. And I was just floored with the 6 years he put into it, the 200-plus independent creators that he gathered, and the concept of doing a Crisis on Infinite Earths, a secret invasion type thing with independent characters. I begged him to get Phaser on there, and he graciously agreed. From there, we expanded to a trading card license to do a trading card set, which will be out in stores in February. And then I approached individual creators to see if they would be willing to do a team-up type of book with Phaser and their creation. Sunburst, of course, being the premier one.
Yay.
Isn't that your character?
I think it is.
Okay, just check.
That's
so Phaser will actually
area.
Have... Yeah, a shameless plug for more. Phaser will actually have two titles, bimonthly titles. There'll be a Phaser title, a bimonthly Phaser title, and then there will be a... for the lack of a better term, a team-up title, which is a War of the Independents crossover. Right. And each issue will feature Phaser with a different War of the Independents character. So first one comes out in December, second one comes out in January.
When we had Dave on the show a couple of weeks ago,
he
was so very anti-comic book, so very anti-doing this. He's like, you know, you just got to do a love it because there's no money in it. You know, if you want money, go get a government job. He was really downplaying how this is. What advice can you give to all those people out there who want to get into comics? Should they not do it? Should they go get a government job? Or should what tips can you give them?
I think I started this interview by saying that Phaser was a labor of love. So you have to have some passion behind what you're doing. Also, you have to have the right team backing you up. If I didn't have Carl Myrino and Rachel Platt from RZG Comics, we probably wouldn't be here right now. A lot of it is perseverance. A lot of it is finding and connecting with the right folks. It just never give up. I mean, you hear that all the time. You hear celebrities saying it. You hear Donald Trump saying it. You hear whomever saying it. But that's really the bottom line. Have passion for what you're doing and don't give up.
So that's the secret. Just be passionate. Never give up to your dreams.
That would be my 2 cents worth of advice. I mean, a little talent helps and the right connections.
Oh, talent. You got to have talent.
A little bit of that would help.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. I wasn't sure about that part. You have... six books in front of us on the table, so you guys on the webcam can see it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about
actually,
what's out there?
It's like 12 because we
it's
turned
flip
around.
Covers. So yes,
there's
it's 12.
One. Look, guys, watch. See, it was driving me crazy before. I thought I was losing comic books, but yeah.
Yes, Charlie is unfamiliar with the flip format.
The flip yeah, I'm all excited about that.
Again, going back to graduate school and the master's program, part of the importance of all this is proper trademark. And entering material into the marketplace. So RZG Comics premiered at New York Comic Con 2010. And at that time, all of these titles premiered. Now, I mentioned earlier about doing War of the Independents tie-ins. So all those different covers are actual tie-ins to various characters from War of the Independents and their companies. So Phaser, when he premiered in 2010... premiered simultaneously with 7 different independent publishers. And I think that's a first in comic history. So we wanted to come out with a little bit of a splash.
Right.
And that was it.
So when you have a table or a booth and you're trying to promote all this stuff, have you thought about getting people dressed up as your characters being at your table? Or you haven't gotten that far yet?
I'm sure Carl and Rachel will... take a look at all kinds of proposals for conventions in the coming year. Really, that one's up to them.
So it's up to them to have a Phaser calendar of a month. You know, the firefighters.
Tell you right now, Sony can knock off these costumes like 1, 2, 3, and David.
It's true.
It's true.
Actually, those flip covers have one of them has Rachel in it. The Nova Girls, and the other one has a model named Amanda. That's Amanda.
Amanda.
Now, she was in the booth this past year.
Right, I remember seeing her.
And is Rachel the one in the spider web?
Yeah, Rachel's trapped in a spider web. It's a
Here's
horrible
Rachel.
Thing.
Rachel, you come back. There you go. Sorry, honeymoon is thing.
So that's as close as we've gotten to costumed characters.
Wow.
So... is RZG Comics and RZG the other stuff, the calendar.
Red Zone Girls.
Yeah, Red Zone right. Girls. Is that going to be two separate things? Or is it going to
actually it is. If you go on the website, you can access rzgcomics.com, or you can access redzonegirls.com. But whichever one you do access, you end up on the same home page, and you've got the left door or the right door. You've got a choice of which way to go.
So where do you see Phaser, we'll say 5 years down the line, since you already have your 5 years when you had the thesis program? You're here 5 years now? Now 5 years.
I'll answer that for him.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Movie rights. There you go.
We should be so lucky.
There you go.
We'll see how things play out. Now, ultimately, we'll be expanding the line. There'll be spin-offs. Every phase or story that occurs in time or an alternate reality is a potential spin-off to a whole new universe and a whole new character creation. So there are many, many more characters that will be introduced as the stories go on. And then, of course, there's the trading card sets, the action figures, statues, T-shirts, whatever other licenses we can pull together.
So do you find that the merchandising and licenses will help keep the book going, or do you think the book will help create more merchandising for yourself?
I hope I quote this correctly. A friend of mine, Jeff Gomez, from a company called Starlight Runner Entertainment, did a Forbes article, and I believe the term that he coined was transmedia.
Yeah.
And that theory, that premise, is that in today's marketplace with Twitter and Facebook and your website and whatever else is out there, nothing can truly succeed as a single entity. There's no such thing as a successful comic book. There's no such thing as a successful book by itself. It has to be a franchise. If it's going to be successful in today's marketplace, it has to hit and touch on multiple platforms.
Yeah.
And I agree with him.
And that's been our new catchphrase here. Not a new one, but we use that since the show to promote the franchise, to better the franchise. We're always talking about the franchise because you're absolutely right. There's no one thing that we talk about like for Transformers. I mean, that's a franchise in itself.
Yeah. You have the video games. You have all these other things. But do you think that all this other stuff will take away from the comic? Because if that's where the heart and soul is, do you think all these other things are just extra, extra little things? Or
I'm going to let you answer your own question, my friend. Earlier in the news broadcast, you were talking about the Batman video game,
yes,
right?
Yes, I was. The highest selling a video game within a week's time.
And now in a few months, we're going to have the third installment of the new Batman franchise. Have any of those multi-million dollar franchises taken away from the Batman comic or the experience of reading a Batman comic?
I think it doesn't take away, but I don't think it brings new people to the source material, just personally speaking.
I don't know. I would disagree. I would say that if someone is enjoying the game, someone picked up the video game, they may want to explore other things. They may want to pick up the DVD and check out the movie, or they may want to go into the comic shop and pick up the comic. So I strongly believe that one drives the other.
So what was the marketing thing for when you were a kid? What was the thing that you saw that you had to go grab out and get?
Actually, when I was a kid, we're going way back now. We're going back to the Stone Age when I was a kid.
The cup in the rock?
The Star Wars phenomenon hadn't happened. The concept of tying in toy franchises with a media property had not happened. So all of this didn't really exist when I was a kid. I remember being a kid and having watched Planet of the Apes and Beneath the Planet of the Apes and loving those movies, but there weren't any action figures to go get or any real tie-ins that would market it.
So you think as a kid you would have gone, thinking
I think
back?
So. I think the whole industry exists because of that need.
There actually was when they became, not right away, but once they seen the... Yeah, they came out with, Herman could tell you that, they came out with a lot of Planet of the Apes things, but you're absolutely right. Back in the day, the only thing I can think of that came out right away when the cartoon was on was Gumby and Pokey. Which
and,
is,
oh, whoa, I would be remiss in mentioning this one. If we're going way back, our friends, Captain Action.
We can trade going back things.
Captain Action was an action figure that sort of tied into all this with the Batman costume from the Batman TV show and so on.
And then you had the total reverse of the product coming out before the cartoon.
Yeah, it was
G.I.
in
Joe.
The 80s. When,
yes.
G.I. Joe. I remember I was a kid and I bought I wish I would have kept it, one of the first G.I. Joes. I bought the Air Force G.I. Joe because you had all the military things.
Did he come with a parachute?
It came in an orange jumpsuit.
That's right.
Right, and you had to go out and buy different kits, like different packages, like different suits, and I guess the parachute was in one of those. But he didn't come with a plane, so he wasn't that.
He wasn't that good
jumping.
Of an.
But later, they did make a space capsule for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait a minute.
They grew hair on him.
Yeah. Wait a minute. So wait. Do you have the Air Force guy with no Air Force parachute? He didn't have a parachute.
You had to buy it separately. They were brilliant. It just came in a little rectangle box.
And check out our Facebook page, and visit your comic shop in December and January to pick up the first issues of Phaser.
Well, thanks for coming down, Mariana. I really appreciate it. And we are running out of time, so I'm just going to do a quick throw-off. That's it for this week. Join us next week. See us online. Archives will be up in a week, and we'll see you then.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.